Okay, so we're not going to talk specifically about covenant, but I'm just going to make a few points again about making Jesus Lord. And firstly, just to make a technical point, the first thing is that a covenant is a solemn agreement in front of God, whereas an agreement is an agreement between two parties, which is ratified by each party. But a covenant is something that's done usually for a religious motivation or a moral reason, and God witnesses that covenant. Now, the best example we can give of a covenant is marriage. And actually, in a marriage, there are three people. And the theology of marriage also includes this, that couple, in a sense, marry each other. The priest or the pastor officiates, and all the records have to be taken down for obviously legal purposes. But it's the two people really who marry each other, and God is the third party in that, and the priest, the minister, represents that person. So we need to understand that. That's how covenant works. So when people make a covenant today, it works. It's a serious commitment. It's not something you treat lightly. But it's a low covenant, if you like. It doesn't. There are higher covenants that take precedence over this one. For example, the one of marriage that I just spoke about. And sometimes the people here belong to religious orders, so that covenant is superior to this covenant. So it's a very basic covenant. And for the people today, it's only for a year. But it's still serious because God's going to witness it. And it entails a few things. It entails participation in meetings. These are the outward manifestations of it. Like this ring is the outward manifestation that I'm married to Julie, but this is not my marriage. But it shows that I'm married to her. It's a sign. So the signs that we've really entered in the covenant is that we're praying. We're going to pray. That's what people are going to commit to. They're going to attend. They're going to serve, and they're going to tithe. They're going to give. Basically, that's it. And they're going to do it for a year here. And the problem we find now in our society more and more, that we even find people hard to commit for a year. So we have 6 months and 4 months and 8 months. Mostly we do get a year. But it's important that if you're going to, unless you're sick or something extraordinary again, or one of these other covenants takes precedence, then we should attempt to live out for a year, because that's what we're doing. That's what we're saying. Now, going back to the scriptures, just to give you a scripture. In Joshua 24, verses 13 to 28, the scriptures say this. This was a covenant. In the Jewish Bible, in the Old Testament, there were a lot of covenants. In fact, the books of the Bible are called Old and New Covenant. So you can call them the Old Covenant or New Covenant, Old Testament, New Testament. It's interchangeable. And this is what happened after the people got out of Egypt. Moses died. They got into the land, and Joshua is in charge. And this is at the end of the book of Joshua, if you want to read it. They had some victories already, but they had some compromises already also. They didn't do exactly what God asked them to do. So this is what he said. This is what it says. So I gave you a land for which you did not toil, and cities you do not build. So God is emphasizing his grace or his graciousness. And that's what we have to remember. Again, it's all that we say is in the context of the love of God. Even when there's a hard saying, it's in the context of the love of God. It's in the context of God's generosity. When we're asked to give a few dollars, we have to see it that it's God given to us first, that it doesn't belong to me, that I'm a steward of that money, or I'm a steward of my family or whatever, or I'm a steward of my business. It doesn't belong to me. I have the responsibility, however, to be accountable for its running, and I have to be accountable to do things in a moral way. But it doesn't belong to me, and as one of our spiritual fathers used to say, and he used to say to me, always hold on to things with light fingers. Don't hold on to them tightly, because God can take them away. God, Jonah said, God gives, God takes away. Every one of us will experience that. This week we've had a lot of joyous things happen. You've just heard about some of them. And there's been some tragic things happen as well to people. And unfortunately, this is life. We live. It says in the scripture, the sun shines on good and bad men alike. However, we do have an advantage that we can pray and we can be comforted by God. And in some circumstances, we can pray and change things as well. However, we're still subject, if you like, to the world of sin that we live in, and that we're born into ourselves, except for the cleansing and the salvation of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. 14, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your ancestors. So throw away the gods your ancestors worshipped beyond the Euphrates River in Egypt and serve the Lord. So the people, because they're fallen sons and daughters of Adam, brought with them the practices from the east, from Mesopotamia, from which Abraham came. Abraham came from that region of Iraq, right down there, right down the bottom of Iraq, the Chaldeans, beyond the Euphrates River. And also they picked up some other things in Egypt as well along the way. We pick up things. As Christians, though, we also have the benefit, as we walk in the Spirit, we pick up things from God as well. And see, all we're doing is, and that's why when we're on a journey, and particularly when we're on a journey with a group of people, is that we are also progressing. We're getting better, right? We're going further and higher all the time because we are a spirit, soul and body. And in our spirit, we're soaring. We're opening ourselves to the Holy Spirit. And then that impacts our soul and impacts our mind and our body. Nevertheless, we're still subject to all the things that other people are subject to. But we've got something that they haven't got. We're blessed by God. And God's given us things, abilities and ways of living. So he goes on to say, but if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, because they've already had crisis. It doesn't take long to lose something. It doesn't take long at all. 6 weeks, you form a habit. Probably after 6 weeks, you can lose that habit. So it's very important that we keep following the Lord. Keep worshiping, keep in fellowship, keep giving, keep seeing things from a spiritual perspective. Don't just allow the radio and the TV to form your thinking and your beliefs. This is still a problem for Christians today. And I'm not saying don't watch the news. I watch it every day. I'm not saying you, in fact, you know, if you don't, I'd encourage you to see it because you need to understand what's going on. But you don't, if you're going to see it and believe everything, then you will end up on a sidetrack somewhere eventually. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your ancestors. Worship beyond the Euphrates and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you shall serve, whether the gods of your ancestors serve beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now that's something that we all need to declare, and it's something you need to declare not here so much, but in your own homes. In your own homes. That's where it's got to happen. We will serve the Lord. So we will not just watch television. We're going to have prayer. We will thank God before we eat. We will have maybe a night or whatever where as a family, and this is, again, it depends on the father and mother, to put God first. Put God first. Very important. Easy to forget. I've forgotten many a times. Even yesterday, we sat down in a situation to eat. We all started eating before I realized we hadn't thanked God for the food. So we stopped and then we thanked God. It's very important. If you say again, if you don't do that for 6 weeks, you won't do it again. So even if you realize, like you will, like I do, you forget because you're hungry. You become like the guy who had the red soup in the Bible. Get into the food. Then, you know, you lose it. Then people answered him, "Far be it for us to forsake the Lord or to serve other gods. It was the Lord God, our God himself who brought us and our parents out of Egypt from the land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we travelled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites, who lived in this land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God." Now here's a moment of confession and profession of faith. Here is a moment of reality where they remembered what God had done for them. And of course, a lot of the things that we do in church are remembrance. For example, when we have Holy Communion or Mass, Eucharist, whatever tradition, that is going back to Calvary, understanding what happened. Now, the sacrifice is only once, but we remember. We see, again, we're Westerners. To a Jewish, that's why they have Passover. Every year, the Jewish people do it. Their escape from Egypt. They celebrate it. They have been doing that now for, 3,500 years or so. And one of the things that's kept them as a nation, that, the Sabbath, and male circumcision are the three things probably that have kept them, amongst other things. They wouldn't have got back to the land to take it over again after 2,000 years if that wasn't the case. You know, most nations, most people, we have a lot of people, children of immigrants or immigrants here. I'm one of them. Within one generation or two, you lose nearly all the customs of the old country. Okay? Now, some groups of people and some individuals and some families still have some practices they continue. And that might be around food or whatever. But generally speaking, and the more, if you like, you are from an Anglo-Northern country, the quicker this happens. If you come from Brazil or Malta or somewhere, or Italy, it might take, or Greece, it might take a bit longer. But we assimilate into this culture, and that's rightly so. not straight away. It took me a long time to get into rugby league and rugby union. Okay, that's all right. I'm okay with those now because, you know, I'm just using analogies of real life because that's the truth. We have the Polish people here and they're more in the process still. That's okay. That's where you're at. But that's what happens. But for a nation to preserve their religion for 3,500 years is absolutely miraculous. Cannot happen naturally. Okay? That's the point I'm trying to make. And so it's important that we remember too. And that's why we remember, we have Christmas, we have Easter, we have all these things. And to remember those very important times and to remember things that we do as a people together. That's why occasionally we like to tell our story so that we can continue here. We've had wonderful prophecies of having a multi-generational group here. And not many places in the West are able to keep their church going for more than one generation after the first. We have four generations here. And I believe it will keep going because we've tried to remember what God has done, okay? So this is, I know I've gone a bit long, but I'm just finished. But you get the point, and that's why we have the ceremony. Again, it's all part of this. Don't, you know, it does make sense in this context because a lot of people would say, why do you have to do that? Well, because otherwise we'll just please ourselves and do whatever. Remember the talk that Mike McGlynn gives about the feelings. And that's why even when we come to worship, it can't be based on feelings. It's got to be based on sacrifice. That's the issue. That's where a lot of us Westerners get unstuck. Anyway, then Joshua said to the people, you are not able to serve the Lord. He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. And then he says, he will not forgive your rebellion and your sins, which is something that's said there. It's in a sense not consistent with what we know about God because he does forgive us our sins. But he's more or less saying, you know, you don't... there's a thing called presumption, which we don't know much about these days. And that is, I'll just keep on sinning. I know that God will, you know, he's a good God, he's merciful. Well, I'll just keep doing what I'm doing. It will work out in the end. Well, that's totally against Scripture. And what he's trying to say here is, you know, make sure you're serious about what you're doing. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he has been good to you. Well, okay, well, this has been the story of the people of Israel. Of course, they've been through, you know, 4,000 years of ups and downs, more downs than up. So this is what this passage is trying to say. Serve God. It's when they didn't serve God, then the judgments came. And again, it's all in the context of the love of God. God doesn't bring judgments to punish people. Usually, when those things happen, then we are more sensitive to turn back to God. Because the more money I get and the more my successful my life becomes because of my fallen human nature, I think I'm doing it. I'm thinking I'm really good. I think I've really achieved something, that I'm clever or whatever. But that may be the case, but nevertheless, that's not sufficient because only God, and anyway, if I am like that, it was God who gave me the gifts. Remember what I said last week? Don't take his glory. Credit. We credit his righteousness, but we've got to credit glory to him. All right? That's the difference. But the people said, no, we will serve the Lord. Then Joshua said, and this is what, you are witness against yourself that you have chosen to serve the Lord. In other words, they said, no, we're not going to, we will serve the Lord. We will, absolutely. And he's saying, we're going to make a covenant now. Remember, this is what you said. Don't forget it. And this is the other, I'll finish on this point. We forget very quickly. It goes on, because a little bit more. Yes, you are witnesses, they replied. We are witnesses, sorry, they replied. Now then, said Joshua, throw away the foreign gods that you have and yield your hearts to the Lord your God. And the people said to Joshua, we will serve the Lord our God and obey him. On that day, Joshua made a covenant for the people, and there at Shechem, he reaffirmed, this is the covenant that they made. He again, they redid the decrees and lives. And that's why we renew covenant. See, in Holy Communion, we renew the covenant all the time. And Joshua recorded these things in the book of the law of God. And he took a large stone and set it upon there under an oak near the holy place of the Lord. See, he said to all the people, this stone will be a witness against us. It has heard all the words the Lord has said to us. It will be a witness against you if you are untrue to your God. Then Joshua dismissed the people, each to their own inheritance.